that they can hear the gospel from him. But where exactly was Jesus in the temple? We see that he was not in the most holy place. He was not in the holy place. He was not in the inner court. Jesus was right inside the outer court. The temple was designed in such a way that the most holy place was obviously considered the most holy place by the Jewish religious leaders. But the outer court was where the Jews and the Gentiles could even meet together. Yes, it was holy, but it was not considered as holy as the inner court and the most holy place. In the outer court, you would find women, you would find Gentiles, you would find the rich people and the poor people. You would find the people that are considered not so holy, because the Gentiles were not even allowed to cross into the inner court. But where do we find Jesus Christ, the one who is God himself? He is not in the most holy place. He is in the outer court. Why? To reach everyone. So we understand that Jesus Christ, he came for all people. That's what we see. Because if he was going to be only in the Holy of Holies, it's only the priest that could meet him. But he chose to go into the outer court where there were money changers, farmers and traders, and the Gentiles and so forth. And what is he doing in the outer court? He is teaching all people the word of God. The word of God is not for certain people. The word of God is for all of us. Despite our social classes, the word of God is for all of us. Despite our races, the word of God is for the Gentiles. It is also for the Jews. That's what Jesus chose, to go into the outer court. Then in verse 3 to 5, the religious leaders, they come into the temple, but now they come into the outer court where Jesus was teaching. But they brought in a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. They bring the woman to Jesus, and they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. In the law of Moses, in the law, Moses commanded us that such women should be put to death. They made the adulterous woman to stand before the people. And what is the charge? Adultery. What is the verdict? She is guilty of adultery. And what is the judgment? Death by being stoned. This is what the law commanded. And in this we see ourselves. All of us, we are charged with a certain type of adultery. It might not be the adultery that the woman did, but all of us, we find ourselves that we are guilty of sin. And the judgment upon each one of us is death. So the woman, just imagine, she's standing before a group of people. She is guilty of her adultery. She is shameful of her adultery. And above all, she is fearful that she is going to be stoned to death. And this is us. Because of our sins, we are fearful of the judgment of God. We are fearful of death. For we know that the wages of sin is death. So we find in this passage that we are the woman in this passage. We have committed our own type of adultery. But also on the flip side, many times, particularly us, the church people, we are the religious leaders, self-righteous people. We take pride in outward holiness. I don't kill. I don't commit adultery. I don't steal, right? But we are blind to the sins of our hearts. And we are eager to condemn others. If we hear that Romy has done this, he has killed someone, he has stolen something, we are eager to condemn him. But we are spiritually blind to the dark areas of our hearts. We know from the author in verse 6 that their intention of these people, it was not a good intention. They did not bring the woman before Jesus because they wanted justice. No. Their intention is not to keep the law. One, when adultery is committed, does it involve one person? It involves two people. In Deuteronomy, the law said, put to death the man and the woman. But in this case, did they bring the man? No. The woman's just being used as a pawn because they want to trap Jesus. These people were self-righteous and they were looking for an opportunity to trap Jesus. They want to trap him and to accuse him of disobeying and rejecting the law so that they can put him to death. They are giving two choices to Jesus and they are asking Jesus to choose one choice. They are saying to Jesus, if you agree with the law, then this woman is condemned to death because the law says put to death such women. But if you deny, if you do not agree with the law, then you, Jesus, you are condemned to death. So either way, one had to die. Either the woman was supposed to die according to the law, or Jesus was supposed to reject the law and put to death. But Jesus did not fall for their trap. What did he do? He queried the religious leaders in verse 7. If anyone of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Today, Jesus is confronting our hearts with the same question. If anyone of us in OCC is free from sin, then throw a stone at this sinner and this sinner and this sinner. Jesus is not denying the sin of the woman, but is pointing out that both the adulterous woman and the religious leaders, both of them are guilty of sin and they deserve death. We know that we are all guilty of sin and we deserve death. All of us, we are guilty of sin and we all deserve death. So when Jesus queried them by asking them to throw a stone at her if they were not guilty of sin, what was their reaction? We see in verse 8 that the religious leaders walked away one by one. They walked away one by one. At first, one would wonder and say, perhaps the greatest sin that they committed was the sin of self-righteousness and condemning others. But when we come to this part, we see that the greatest sin that they committed was knowing that they are sinful because Jesus has exposed their sin, the sinful nature. But they chose to walk away from Jesus. They are rejecting the Redeemer, the giver of true life and security of our souls. Many times I find myself in that situation. And I believe you find yourself in that situation where instead of going to Jesus, you decide to walk away from Jesus. That is what spiritual blindness does. When you look at yourself and say, I am holy, you don't need Jesus if you are holy. That is where the pride kicks in. So they walked away from Jesus. But what about the adulterous woman? Did she walk away from Jesus? What does the Bible say? It says in verse 9, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. So the woman remained. She admitted, I am a sinner. She admitted, but she said, I am not going to walk away from Jesus. Family, we need to admit that we are sinners. But we don't stop there. We need not to walk away from Jesus. The starting point for you and me is to admit that we are sinners. As we are in the church, we need to admit it. But after admitting it, we do not need to walk away from Jesus. So they walked away from Jesus. And we begin to see how Jesus is resolving the situation in verse 10 and verse 11. When they left, Jesus stood up from the ground and began to talk to the woman. Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? And the woman replied, No, Lord. And Jesus declared, Neither do I condemn you. He made a declaration. Neither do I condemn you. What is Jesus doing with the law? The law said, if you commit adultery, you should put to death. But Jesus is not condemning the woman. What is Jesus doing with the law? Unlike the religious leaders, Jesus uses the law in the right way. And that's the question that I have for myself and for all of you. Do we use the law in the right way? Or we use the law to point at others and condemn others? Jesus, he used the law in the right way, not to condemn, but to show grace and mercy to sinners. That is the purpose of the law. It gives us an opportunity to show grace and mercy to sinners. As people that have believed in Jesus Christ, do we show grace and mercy to our brothers and sisters who are struggling with sin? Or do we condemn them? The purpose of the law is not just to expose that this one is an adulterer, this one is a murderer, this one is a thief. Yes, it exposes. But after exposure, we offer grace and mercy that is in Jesus Christ. So his grace and mercy frees us from all guilt and condemnation. That's what Jesus is doing to the woman. She was guilty of adultery, shameful, fearful of death. But Jesus offered grace and mercy to free her from all this guilt and condemnation. What about us? We should accept his grace and mercy. And sometimes we tend to think that the grace and mercy is for certain people, particularly those that are still outside the church building. We need the grace and mercy of Jesus each day of our lives. It is for us as well. And Jesus, he gave his final words to the woman. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Friends, when we are freed, we should live a new life in Jesus Christ. Jesus empowers us to live a life of obedience to God. What is he saying, Jesus? Go and sin no more. It means go and observe the law. The law says don't commit adultery. Do you see how Jesus uses the law? He does not use it to condemn, but he brings back the woman and say, now that I freed you from condemnation and the guilt of your sin, what should you do? Go and observe the law of God. And I'm going to empower you to do that. For he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. He is the one that gives spiritual renewal. So we do no longer delight in sin, but we delight in observing God's laws. Because the laws of God are good. They guide and teach us to live a righteous life in Christ. Family, in conclusion, Jesus came for all people. Sometimes we think that, yes, he came for all people, but for that one, I'm not too sure. Even those that consider the notorious ones, he came for them. And all of us who are in the church and who are outside the church, we are guilty of sin and we deserve death. And when we recognize our sin, which is exposed by the law, to say, Romeo, you are a sinner because you are not obeying this and this. We need to admit that we are sinners, but we do not need to walk away from Jesus. We don't need to reject the mercy and grace of Jesus that he offers. So as we go into our community groups, I just want us to reflect, one, on our hearts. Are we the adulterous woman, or are we the religious leaders, or are we both? Then secondly, reflecting on the mercy and grace of God that he gives freely. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace and your mercy that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died for us, the adulterous woman, but he also died for us, the religious people. Thank you that this grace and mercy, they're always available to us each day, and they are there for the renewal of our hearts and the refreshing of our souls. So, Father, we pray that as we go into our community groups, we may have quality time reflecting on this passage, not only the words of this passage, but most importantly, reflecting on our hearts. Help us, Father, that we do not become like the religious leaders. When sin was exposed, the sin in their hearts, they chose to walk away from the Redeemer. Help us, Father, to remain with Jesus, to admit our sin, and to go and live a life of righteousness. We pray all this in the name of your Son and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah, what a word. As we are reflecting internally, let us go into